Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Sorry.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday.
The alarming number to me, Sarah, is not necessarily batting average, but it is in what I find to be a very telling, important, and elegant stat, and that is weighted runs created plus.
Dan Bernstein.
1-0 to Contreras, driven in the air toward right field, pretty well hit. Back goes Acuna. It's got a chance. Gone. Here's a swing and a drive to center deep. Back goes Heredia. Back to the center field wall. That ball is gone.
The Cubs as a team are 43% below average in the current run environment.
Swing and a drive to left field and deep. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Three-run homer, Javier Baez.
Bryant.
Swing and a high drive to deep left field. This ball's got a chance. Gone.
Leila Rahimi.
This is not exactly great news with the Braves in town. In fact, it's a little terrifying.
24 hours later.
You'll see something tonight from Hendricks that's unusual for this game and for the game overall. You'll see him bust up bats at 85, 87 miles an hour.
A lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Freeman lifts off, and that one's well gone. Oh, my goodness.
Ball and a strike to Darno, one for his last 13 at the plate. And Darno swings and sends a ball well hit to left, and that one's gone.
Three ball counts to four of the first six batters Hendricks has faced.
In the air to right, that one's well hit. Hayward's going to watch this one fly.
The last time Kyle Hendricks allowed three homers in an inning, it was August of 2019. Three-homer game has actually happened to him on four occasions. And there's a drive to deep center field, and that one's gone! Santa Maria! Four homers in the inning!
Yeah. This got ugly quick.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
With Bernsey and really Mahimi.
9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The White Sox are better than the Cubs. I hadn't even unpacked the groceries. And I get in and I turn on the TV. I had it on the radio and I wasn't exactly sure what had gone on. And I get home and I'm like, wait, what the hell's going on? What are we doing?
And shout out to Jordan Malley because he made me look smart. Thanks, Jordan. But what do I know about baseball? Or apparently the fact that the two most iconic buildings in the city are not Art Deco. I digress.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Vinny Duber is going to join us in just a couple of minutes, actually, to talk White Sox. And then it's going to be Kalen Kaler with some NFL draft information that I think you should know. That is coming up at 10. We'll talk a little more Cubs thereafter, the midday midway at 10:40. I've got some your mean Mercedes stuff that's going to blow your mind. You're going to think I made it up, but I didn't. It's real, and it's not Ruby the tarot card reader, but it's close.
You're me and Mercedes own tarot cards.
Right? man, that was a changeup, too, that he hit 430 feet, which is not easy to do, even when you're mean Mercedes. And Patrick Mooney, the Cubs reporter for The Athletic, will be our guest a little bit later on as well, around 11:20 or so. We got some surprises along the way. 312-644-6767. That's the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Your emails should be to Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Text the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Thank you for all the advice for how to get the residue from polyurethane foam off my hands. But the truth is, nothing works. Nothing works. It's going to have to wear off. I'm going to have to scrape it off. And eventually, their new skin will be made, and there will be no more residue. But thanks for trying. And also, thanks for commiserating about old Chicago, too, because it was really, it indeed was an absolute hellscape.
The text line about this place.
It's that bad. It was that bad. And it was it sort of star-crossed. And people died. And someone said he saw a clown fall from the ceiling and bleed out and die, which it doesn't surprise me at all. It was probably like built on a Native American burial ground or something. It was just filled with all sorts of ghosts and poltergeists and all of that. It was just a bad, bad place. You download the Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show on the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. She's at Layla Rahimi. I'm at Dan underscore Bernstein. The Twitch feed is where it's at, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. I suggest you go there because you can see everything that's going on. You can see many of our guests and be part of the rapidly moving conversation. Connor O'Donnell handles that, as does Brian Gertz. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer, and Jordan Malley is our sound man on the board doing his things. Yeah, the baseball, at least the White Sox gave us some stuff, and maybe he'll give us some more stuff today. But it's just a different vibe with them. Like, you expect that you can watch them and not be miserable. I don't ask much.
That was, I think, reports of the Braves' demise were very much fabricated. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yeah, it's early.
It's early, and I still think they're the favorites in the NL East, and it's starting to normalize now that we are a couple of weeks into the season. But what we saw of Kyle Hendricks was the most alarming, was it not?
Yeah, and he said that he was just bad, and he was, and his name has now been added to the list of pitchers who have given up 4 home runs in an inning. It's not a long list, but there's some other Cubs on there too.
But when it comes to the 3 starts he's had this season, where the individual ERAs in the game are 9 on opening day, 3 against the Pirates, and then on Sunday against the Braves, 692. Does that give you cause for concern, given that that is the dude that you need to have working? And Alec Mills was up early in the pen last night. Too early for me. And what did I say in our group thread, kids? Did I not hit the nail on the head on the amount of pitches he was going to throw in that inning at 35?
You said 35, and it was exactly 35. And by the way, I should also mention that even though Steve Traxel's name is on the list of those who have given up 4 home runs in an inning, he didn't do it as a member of the Cubs. He actually did it as a New York Met, I believe.
And the inning took 4 hours?
The game, I'm certain did. You know, Phil Norton is on this list too.
Boy, Traxel is the reason for even the discussion of a pitch clock.
He's unapologetic about it. He's been asked about it. Just that's how he felt comfortable. There's some great pitchers on this list too who have done it, and a bunch of not so greats. But add Kyle Hendricks to the historical list, because that was gross. That was just no good. Vinny Duber has White Sox thoughts. He's going to preview the game that starts in like a half an hour. It's Patriots Day, so they're playing in Boston, and we've got a starting pitcher on the injured list. We have plenty of good to talk about as well. All of that next.
What's the good?
The good for the White Sox?
Okay.
Luis Robert is starting to look like he's understanding how to hit different pitches and modify his swing a little bit. Your mean Mercedes is good. They got some hits and situationally. Come
okay.
on.
Because it's not, I don't know that it's any of the other topics we have today, disturbingly.
All right. I'll let you take us to the dark places then. That's fine.
We took ourselves there.
She's Layla Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're Bernstein and Rahimi talking White Sox next on The Score.
It's draft time, Bears fans. Thursday night, April 29th, 6:30 to 10. Our team of football experts will be covering the Bears' first-round pick live.
The Chicago Bears select Cole Kmet.
Caught for the touchdown, Cole Kmet!
Featuring the voices of the Bears, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Score football experts, Hub Arkish, Mark Grody, Hall of Fame writer Dan Pompey, and 670thescore.com's Chris Emma. Due to the Cubs game, our draft coverage of round one will be on News Radio 780. What direction will Ryan Pace go with the 20th pick? Will they trade up or down? Listen to the Score's 2021 NFL draft coverage on News Radio 780. An Odyssey Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Vinny Tuber.
In place of relax, what I'll say is just watch the game.
Covering the White Sox for NBC Sports Chicago.
I think in the beginning of the year, you always want to get off to the Mercedes 8-for-8 start.
Mercedes tags it to center field. Verdugo's got no play. It's way out of here. Your mean Mercedes smashes one out of Fenway Park, and it's 2-0 Sox.
Vinny Duber with Bernstein and Rahimi.
I mean, we talked to him. Actually, you're mean, not I mean.
On the Score.
I hadn't heard that one.
That was Anthony Rizzo saying good stuff about your mean Mercedes, having him top of mind, and that is certainly a bright spot for these White Sox right now, as is a doubleheader sweep, even though it may be the 14-inning variety at Boston. Vinny Duber, who covers the White Sox for NBC Sports Chicago and can be followed at Vinny Duber, joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Excuse me, Alpamonte Nissan hotline. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue. We're at apnissan.com. Vinny, how's it going, man?
It's going good, Dan. Layla, how are you guys today?
Good. This is weird because I look up at the screen at NBC Sports Chicago, and I think it's an encore presentation of White Sox baseball, and it's not. They're getting ready for an actual live game.
Yeah, it's one of those rare morning starts, 10 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, but Patriots Day in Boston, it's a good tradition out there, but we're not used to it over here, are we?
No, in fact, I think Ozzie Guillen was unblanketing himself to start the show, but let's start with the starting pitching ranks for the White Sox because they are outstanding. I know there's some bad pitching news to get to, but let's keep a positive first. First in ERA out of the starting staff, first in home runs allowed per nine, third in strikeouts per nine, first in innings pitched. That's where I get concerned about the Lance Lynn injury, but before we start there, they're also first in WAR. That is what you want to see out of this squad in 1-5, especially after Rodon's no-hitter. They look pretty good.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you knew coming into the season that they had those three ace-type guys at the top in Giolito, Keuchel, and Lynn. Those guys have delivered, but so too has Carlos Rodon, as you mentioned at the back end. He's probably looked the most impressive just because one of his starts has been a no-hitter. But, I mean, for two guys who were huge question marks coming into the season in Cease and Rodon, you had no idea what you were going to get out of those guys. For Carlos to come in and really kind of stabilize things, again, it's the early going. He's made two starts. You don't want to go nuts. But for a guy, you know, who could show you, you're getting glimpses of what this rotation could look like down the road. And it's deep, and it's really deep. And then Michael Kopech goes out and does what he did yesterday, providing even more evidence to that point. And, you know, once the playoffs roll around, that's where the White Sox want to be. It's going to take more than three guys to win a playoff series, to win the World Series. And it looks like right now they have the potential to have that happen. That's the starting rotation, that is.
Well, that's the story, Kopech. I mean, he was shoving. Yeah. And that is that's what it looks like. And it was just nice to see somebody that hyped coming off of the surgery and just showing that he hasn't lost a bit of any of what made him special before.
We all remember 2018, right, when he came up and he made his debut, the huge crowd around the bullpen for his warm-up pitches that day, the kind of ovation that he was getting. That's the kind of hype that carried him into the big leagues and 2 years, you know, off. And it's like, okay, can he do it? Is he the same guy? So far this season, he's showed that he is every bit of the dominant pitcher that everybody thought he was going to be way back when. Doing it out of the bullpen is huge. You know, I mean, listen, everybody wants him to be a starter. He's going to be a starter one day. He wants to be a starter one day. But having that multi-inning relief weapon, that's a gigantic asset for the White Sox. And listen, maybe he does end up in the rotation by the end of the year, and he ends up being one of the most dominant starters that they can throw in a playoff series. But even if that doesn't happen, to be able to call on him on a regular basis out of the bullpen in playoff games where starters don't go very deep, when the bullpen is used so often, to have him be a part of that calculus, that's huge for the White Sox too.
Yeah, I don't think we can say enough about Kopech just because of the hype that was surrounding him and how long we had to wait to see him pitch. My goodness. So to see him do this is not just encouraging. It's really confirming what a lot of people thought about him, which we don't see a lot of these days in sports. But the other concern I have for him, too, is just the process of being able to be stretched out. They talked about that a little bit yesterday because he was in that starting role, even though it was a bullpen day. What can we expect to see out of him? Will there be more innings in other appearances if needed later, or is that some sort of plan?
I think they're kind of playing it slow, and I think that's okay. I think this is a 162-game season, plus they hope there's another month tacked on to the end of that as well. There's no rush, really, to get him to be a seven-inning starter right away. Using him out of the bullpen is good. It's worked. It's been fantastic. He's been arguably, other than the guy that you highlighted in the intro there, Yermín Mercedes, the best player on the team this year so far. So to have him be that bullpen guy is not a problem. And I think you've already seen them kind of test the waters with stretching him out a bit. They sent him out there for a fourth inning yesterday because he was so efficient, and he's been so efficient in pretty much every appearance he's made. Perhaps it gets to the point where he can throw four innings on a regular basis, five innings on a regular basis. And if that's the case, maybe that's when they go ahead and move him into the rotation. But right now, there's nothing wrong with two or three at a time.
Lance Lynn proved Rod Beck wrong. Rod Beck, years ago, when talking about his physical condition, says you never hear about somebody going on the DL with pulled fat. Well, Lance Lynn, who is corporeally interesting, has a pulled trapezius muscle, and it's on his throwing side. How careful are they going to be with him?
They're hopeful that he's only going to miss one start. We'll see. I think Tony La Russa said this morning that they're doing tests today to see just what the extent of this injury is. Apparently, he felt the discomfort to Lance Lynn in his last start against Cleveland, which was a good one, other than that home run to Jose Ramirez. And Jose Ramirez hits a lot of home runs off a lot of people. So, but yeah, Lance Lynn's been excellent for the White Sox, and certainly they would be very lucky to have him only miss one start at this point. But that's what they think. They got a couple off days going coming up here too, so they might not even need to reshuffle the rotation very much. Maybe just get one spot start in there for Lynn, and it won't be Kopech. Tony La Russa said yesterday as well. But they're hopeful that it's just one start and that everything will be back to normal here in about a week and a half.
The only reason why I'd want to take a little more caution when it comes to Lynn is because he does turn 34 in less than a month. And at some point, you're going to have to manage him a little bit differently. What do you think?
But this is also why they got him, Layla. I mean, they got him because he's durable. He led baseball in innings pitched last year. 2 years ago in 2019, when they played a full season, he set a career high. I mean, this is a guy who you trade Dane Dunning for to be a horse for you this year. You got to remember, too, there's only 1 year of remaining on that contract. This might be the only year he pitches for the White Sox, depending on how things go. So you got him to go throw a ton of innings and to get a lot of guys out.
Were you concerned at all that Liam Hendricks that they doubled up with his appearances yesterday, even though the pitch count was just fine? When you have a veteran reliever to ask him twice in a day to get loose and come in and throw and wind down, I'm just wondering if that was totally necessary.
I think I'd make two points. Number one is that Liam Hendricks really hasn't pitched that much this year. He's had a few outings where he's had to throw a lot of pitches because he hasn't been, you know, boom, boom, boom like he was yesterday. So they've been searching to kind of get him work at times because they've gone through stretches where he hasn't been called on. The other one is Liam Hendricks is there to do this kind of thing. He's a guy who wants to go out and throw as many pitches as he can, get into as many games as he can. And you saw yesterday how effective he can be. Tony La Russa also talked about the depth of the White Sox bullpen. If they need somebody today, this morning after the doubleheader, they've got guys that they're confident in calling on in that situation. So Liam Hendricks was ready for that. I don't think he had any problem with it, and I don't think the White Sox did either for a couple of reasons.
We saw Garrett Crochet pitch in that doubleheader, and Steve Stone touched on what we've all seen, which is a little bit of a lower velocity for him. What's been your impression as you continue to evaluate this? It did start in spring training, but we continue to see that for him.
I think there's a little bit of a difference. This is just a gut feeling. We haven't talked to him in a little bit, but I think there's a difference in, working at Schaumburg for however many weeks and then getting ready to throw five outings or however many it was there at the end of last season that Garrett threw versus building yourself up and making sure that you're ready for an entire 162-game season. Remember, not only last year did he not play in the minor leagues, I think he had one start in college before the college season was ended too. So basically when he was throwing 101 every pitch at the end of the season for the White Sox, it was some of the first action he'd seen all year. So now I think he's got in his mind, just about how we talked about with Kopech, how they're trying to keep Kopech ready and fresh for September and October. I think they're probably trying to do the same with Crochet. I wouldn't be surprised if Crochet has that in his mind too. And maybe you're just not seeing full bore because we're still here in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Vinny, you know you got a game to cover. We will let you go because first pitch is actually in the offing for White Sox and Red Sox on this Patriots Day. We appreciate you taking the time for us.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good talking to you.
Thanks,
that's
Vinny.
Vinny Duber of NBC Sports Chicago. Next up, defector staff writer Kalen Kaler has been doing some research about what this NFL draft is and what it isn't.
Yay.
And she can tell us all about that next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.